Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom, shalom, my sisters. Greetings, hallelujah, from Tennessee. Sister Ashley here, host of Sister to Sister Tonight. Special thank you and shout out and blessing to Mother Beasley tonight. Bless you, Mother. Hallelujah. We love you and we miss you. I hope to see you soon and very, very soon. Let's get a sound check. And special thank yous to all of Canada, if they're even able during their busy week with Pastor Dow, to listen to tonight's show. Special thank yous for taking care of him and taking care of Mama Nellie and Mother Carol. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Northern Tribes, Brother Steve and Sister Wenda. Sister Jennifer, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I hear you. And I see Brother Steve and Sister Wenda in the chat room. So they do have the broadcast pulled up tonight, so they are listening. So blessings to you all. As Sister Ashley said, thank you so much for taking care of our beloved pastor, Mother Carol, and Mama Nellie. This is Sister Jennifer with Straightway Georgia, and I pray that you can all hear me. It's an honor once again to be here. I know I say that every single week, but I don't take it for granted. I don't take it lightly. it really is an honor just to be before you and to be able to learn with you all and to speak the words that the Father would have us to speak tonight. So blessings.
Hallelujah. Yes, blessings. Go ahead and give your acknowledgement, Sister Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. First and foremost, I just want to acknowledge the Most High for his correction through his word. I want to just thank him for his mercy over us and his long suffering. You know, it's because of his love that never fails that we are not consumed by our own foolish devices. I want to just acknowledge Elder Rufus for his wisdom and his patience as he leads his family. You know, his love for Israel really becomes more and more evident every day, and it's awesome to learn from him, and it's just awesome to be able to serve him and to be under him. And I just want to acknowledge our shepherd for just giving us, Yahweh's sheep, everything that we need to make it into the kingdom. And, you know, I'm so grateful for the prayers that we were given on Shabbat, the bloodline prayers, and the other prayer for speaking curses or having curses spoken over you, speaking evil curses. And, you know, Daughters of Zion, those two prayers, they truly are gems. And I pray that you really did take that seriously. You know, that was given to us by the man of Yah, because he truly desires for us to be free. There's so many Daughters of Zion that are, you know, just struggling with ailments, and so many who are bound by things that, you know, you don't understand where they came from, or you don't understand what the root is or how to battle it. And I'm telling you, these two prayers is the key to what we need. And I hope you didn't just pray it once and just put it away. You know, it really would do you well to go over it multiple times and really get it into your heart, not just say it as, you know, like a robot, but really get it into your heart. I really love the bloodline prayer. There's a line in there that says, Holy Spirit, do the work of Yah's kingdom in my heart. And that line, I'm telling you, it just brings you to tears every time, because you see that it's the work of Yah's kingdom in your heart is what transforms you. It's what changes you. So just don't just read this like a book, you know. Really take your time and look at it and get it into your heart. And even when you're washing the dishes, you know, you can remember the lines that are in there. And, you know, you can just ask him, whatever you're doing, if you're in the garden, ask him, you know, Holy Spirit, do the work of Yah's kingdom in my heart. You can pick out certain things that you're really believing and asking for, but don't be robotic about this. There's nothing robotic about this at all. There is life in these prayers. And, you know, there are already testimonies rolling in from people who have prayed these prayers and who have noticed changes already. So maybe you're one of them, and maybe we can hear from you at the end of the broadcast. So, Sister Ashley, I turn it over to you.
Hallelujah. Very well said. Thank you for bringing that up. You can't forget it, that's for sure. It is very serious. And I am, too, so thankful for the order of Yah, for my husband, for laws to obey. I am so thankful in this lawless society that I am able to, with my free will, embrace Yah's order. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that he has not taken it from me. I'm so thankful for the blood of Yeshua, his mercy, his rebukes, all the failures and things that I have been strengthened in. I'm very, very thankful for the blood of Jesus. I am very blessed to be able to serve Deacon Bell. Hallelujah. I'm very blessed to know Pastor Dow in the flesh, to hear him, to see him, to hug him, to work with him or amongst him, to know his family. I'm very blessed to be in the body of Yeshua. And I, too, I'm thankful for the pastors, both of them, Pastor Corey Phillips, Pastor Dow. I'm very thankful for their presence in this ministry and for standing in the gap for Israel. You never really know who is praying for you, and you never really know why you're actually still able to stand and how you're able to make it. We have saints who are saints and pastors that are so powerful in prayer, and I'm very thankful to know people who can connect with our Creator That is so powerful to me. I am thankful to have been taught, Jennifer, how to pray, how to be a friend, how to be a sister and a wife, how to be a better mother, how to love more, how to seek Yah, to really talk to Him, to get curses of sin, hell, and iniquity off of me and my generations behind me, how to serve the saints, how to serve deacon. I am very blessed to be given the laws of the Most High Yah, and I pray that you all have the same testimony. Hallelujah. Special greetings to everyone scattered so far away that you can't always make it to our feast days, from Finland to Australia to Germany to the Netherlands to England, etc. I am so blessed to know each and every one of you. I don't know, anyone special on your heart this week? Jennifer, you're a praying woman. You lift up Israel. What's on your heart?
I just want to acknowledge the new sisters who have come in. You know, there's a lot of new sisters who are listening, who have come in, who really have a serious mind. And I just want to say bless you all and just continue to endure, continue to stand for righteousness. It's not for the world to understand. It's not for, you know, your family members or Gentiles. It's not for them to understand at all. So you continue to obey and just continue to serve your husbands the way that you were created. You don't owe anybody any explanation whatsoever at all. And I just pray that the Father truly finds faith in you when He returns. So just continue to endure, daughters of Zion. Just, you know, thank you for hanging in there and thank you for listening to us. It's an honor to know you all, and shalom.
Hallelujah. We're going to answer an email tonight that's going to benefit you all. But before we get there, before we even open up, I have with me, I'm not going to read it all. It's called The Hordes of Hell Are Marching, 1, 2, and 3. Y'all need to get this. Hordes of Hell Are Marching. The Hordes of Hell Are Marching. This is something that was shared with me through Pastor Dow, through the assembly, through the sisters, Grandma Barb especially. Sister Diane loves this as well. And I'm going to read just a little bit for y'all to start off tonight to hopefully grab your attention to what is really going on around you, so that maybe something in you will snap out of any stupor, or that you'll be able to wake up, right? We don't want to be idle. We don't want to be passive. And we don't want days to go by without being benefits to Yah's kingdom. You ready, Sister Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
All right. This was a panoramic dream or a vision that a man named Rick Joyner had received in early 1995. You remember those days, Mama Jaja? You remember 1995, Mama Jaja? You're on my heart. That's interesting, huh? Bless you. So, it says it's obviously allegorical, as are most dreams and visions, okay? So, he says, I've tried to be faithful to what I actually saw and what I actually experienced, okay? So, that's important, because this man's reputation and his story is on the line. He's saying this is the truth, okay? The first section I'm going to read to you, and I'm only going to read two sections, all right? It's only two pages. Y'all bear with me. The beginning section is called The Evil Army, all right? This is what he saw in his dream or in his vision in 1995. He says, I saw a demonic army so large that it stretched as far as I could see. It was separated into divisions, with each division carrying a different banner. The foremost, that would be the first and most powerful divisions, okay, and he's going to state, I'm going to say them to you, what would be on the banner, which would be a flag or something they were carrying, okay? The foremost and most powerful divisions were pride, self-righteousness, respectability, selfish ambition, and unrighteous judgment. But the largest of all divisions was jealousy. All right, so the only word that maybe you wouldn't understand would be respectability. Respectability, all right, going to the dictionary, is the state or quality of being proper, correct, and socially acceptable. All right? Wanting to be proper, wanting to be correct, and wanting to be socially acceptable. All right? So these are divisions in the demonic army. Let's go back to the story. The leader of this vast army was the accuser of the brethren himself. I knew that there were many more evil divisions beyond my scope of vision, but these were the vanguard of this terrible horde from hell that was now being released against the church. The weapons they carried by this horde had names on them. The swords were named Intimidation. The spears were named Treachery. Their arrows were named Accusations, Gossip, Slander, and Fault-Finding. Scouts and smaller companies of demons with such names as Rejection, Bitterness, Impatience, Unforgiveness, and Lust were sent in advance of this army to prepare for the main attack. I knew in my heart that the church had never faced anything like this before. The main assignment of this army was to cause division. It was sent to attack every level of relationships with each other, congregations with their pastors, husbands with wives, children with parents, and even children with each other. The scouts were sent to locate the openings in the churches or the families or in individuals that rejection, bitterness, and lust could exploit and make a larger breach for even more divisions that were coming. The most shocking part of this vision was that this horde of hell was not riding on horses, but on the backs of believers. Most of them were well-dressed, respectable, and had the appearance of being refined and educated. These were Christians who had opened themselves to the powers of darkness to such a degree that the enemy could use them and they would think that they were being used by God. The accuser knows that a house divided cannot stand, and this army represented his ultimate attempt to bring such complete division to the body of Christ that she would completely fall from all grace. Any thoughts so far, Jennifer?
You know, it reminds me of those who have a form of godliness, you know, a form of godliness, but there's no power in it. And so you have these spirits that are literally using you as just a host, you know, and it just reminds me of how we insulate spirits and how we make excuses for spirits, you know, just to keep them instead of really just rolling up our sleeves and discerning what truly is in our hearts that are against the kingdom of Yah. And so when you read that, that's what I think of, because, you know, these spirits are, they're actually riding on the backs of saints, you know, riding on the backs. And so they're able to do whatever they want. And so it really is powerful. It really is a powerful reading, and I just pray that we all just listen. If you have more, please go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. All right, I'm halfway there. Y'all bear with me. This section is called The Prisoners. Trailing behind these first divisions was a vast multitude of other believers who were prisoners of this army. They were all wounded, and they were guarded by little demons of fear. There seemed to be more prisoners than there were demons in the army. Surprisingly, these prisoners still had their swords and their shields, but they did not use them. It was shocking to see that so many could be kept captive by so few of little demons of fear. These could have easily been destroyed or driven off if the prisoners had just used their weapons. Now, above the prisoners, the sky was black with vultures named Depression. These would land on the shoulders of a prisoner and vomit on him. And the vomit that came out of the vulture was named condemnation. And when the vomit hit a prisoner, he would stand up and he would march a little straighter for a little while, and then he would slump over even weaker than he was before he was hit. And again, I wondered why the prisoners did not simply just kill these vultures with their swords, which they could have easily done. Occasionally, a weak prisoner would stumble and fall. As soon as he or she hit the ground, the other prisoners would begin stabbing them with their swords and scorning them as they did. They would then call for the vultures to begin to devour the fallen one even before they were dead. As I watched, I realized that these prisoners thought that the vomit of condemnation was the truth from God. Then I understood that these prisoners actually thought that they were marching in the army of God. This is why they did not kill the little demons of fear or the vultures that they thought were actually messengers from God. The darkness from the cloud of vultures made it so hard for these prisoners to see that they naively accepted everything that happened to them as being from the Lord. The only food provided for these prisoners was the vomit from the vultures. Those who refused to eat it were simply weakened until they fell. Those who did eat it, remember as condemnation, were strengthened, but the strength was given to them by the evil one. They would then begin to vomit on others. When one began to do this, a demon that was waiting for a ride would be given this one, and he or she would be promoted to the front divisions. Any thoughts, Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. What comes to mind is, you know, Teacher Shane, he during scripture study, he talked about discretion. And he said, you know, discretion is being able to judge what is profane and what is holy. And I really been thinking about that because, you know, a lot of us as women, we lack discretion. And when you read Yahweh's word, you realize how important discretion is. We even lack in having his word in our hearts. You know, that is where discretion comes from, is really knowing his word and having his word in our hearts. But we truly lack being able to judge what is profane and what is holy. And the you know, the fear is able to grip us. The passivity is able to speak to us. And we don't have the discernment, the discretion, the judgment of what we should be fighting and, you know, what is holy, what is profane. And so I just wanted to bring that up because that's what came to mind.
Yes, ma'am. Back to the hordes of hell are marching. Even worse than the vomit from the vultures was a, remember he's dreaming, okay, was a repulsive slime that these demons were urinating and defecating upon the believers that they rode on. The slime was pride and selfish ambition. That was the nature of the division that they were a part of. So however, this slime made the believer feel so much better than the condemnation that they easily believed that the demons were messengers of God. And they actually thought that this slime was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then the voice of the Lord came and spoke to me in the dream, saying, "This is the beginning of the enemy's last day army. This is Satan's ultimate deception, and his ultimate power of destruction is released when he uses Christians to attack other Christians, or believers to attack other believers. Throughout the ages, he has used this army, but never has he been able to capture so many to be used for his evil purposes. Do not fear. I have an army too. You must now stand and fight, because there is no longer any place to hide from this war. You must fight for my kingdom. You must fight for my truth and for those who have been deceived." I had been so repulsed and outraged by the evil army that I wanted to die rather than to live in such a foul world. However, this word that came from the Lord in the dream was so encouraging that I immediately began yelling to the Christian prisoners that they were being deceived, thinking that they would listen to me. When I did this, it seemed that the whole army turned to look at me. I kept yelling and yelling, and I thought that the Christians were going to wake up and realize what was happening to them. But instead, many of them started reaching for their arrows to shoot me. The others just hesitated as if they did not know what to even think of me. And I knew then that I had done this prematurely and that it had been a very foolish mistake. I'm going to read one more paragraph. Those who were hit by arrows of slander immediately began to slander those who were not wounded. Those who were hit with gossip began to gossip, and soon a major division had been created within our camp. Then vultures swooped down to pick up the wounded and deliver them into the camp of prisoners. The wounded still had swords and could have smitten the vultures easily, but they didn't resist. They were actually carried off willingly because they were so angry at the rest of the camp. Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, I remember when Pastor Dow did an interview with Mother Gina a while back. I believe it was a couple of years ago. And I remember her saying that, you know, without the sisterhood, there can be no healing. You know, if we have a true sisterhood, that's where healing really begins to take place. And true sisterhood is the ability to communicate honestly, you know, to really be able to put our own desires aside and to really seek the Father for what His desire is, so that we can grow and that we can be delivered and we can go and strengthen our sister instead of being led by the emotion of rejection, of depression, you know, the things that you named. But if we really had a true sisterhood, we could truly begin to see each other healed. And that is what I think of when you read that, because those characteristics and, you know, the things that you read, the slander, the gossip, that described women to a T. It really did. And we truly need to get into, you know, I'm not even talking about polygyny, because the interview that she did, it was based on polygyny. But we all are in a marriage. You know, we're all in a marriage with the Father. We're all His brides. And so we truly need to understand that so that we can see, you know, His bride, just, you know, to really succeed and to make it. We want her to make it, and that needs to be our focus.
Yes, ma'am, and if you sisters take anything from tonight's show, we could end it right now, honestly. We're not, but we could. If you take anything from tonight's show, let me plead with you to go to the Father and repent for your hatred, and repent for your accusations. This is a great hindrance in your freedom. You don't have to live in a community to have accusations. It could be right there with you and your husband. Hate is a feeling that is intense or a passionate dislike for someone. There is, most of us can understand that expression, that intense, passionate dislike. My opinion, you should remove the word hate out of your language. Oh, I hate that. I hate that when he does that. I hate this. Right? Because you speak what you are. Hate is a deep and extreme, I'm reading off of Wikipedia. Hatred or hate is a deep and extreme emotional dislike, especially invoking feelings of anger or feelings of resentment.
it can be directed against individuals or a group. It can be directed against entities or objects or someone's behavior or someone's idea. All your dislikes and all your I hates and all your contention in you can truly just be hatred. Hatred is often associated with feelings of anger, disgust, hostility, rage. Very, very common to go after that spirit when you're just engaging in warfare, when you're just getting your first few deliverances or your first few years of deliverance. All that pent-up anger and negativity that's motivating you to and be, I don't know, just always having something negative to say, even about your marriage, about your home, about the weather, about the temperature, about all the murmuring and the complaining. It will benefit you greatly if you seek Yah and you come clean with your accusations and stop calling it discernment. It's accusations. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down. Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. I think it's a good point that you brought up that, you know, you a lot of times as women, we have to remember we are not the Most High Yah. He hates with a perfect hatred. But, you know, we don't know how to do that. He hates sin. And a lot of times we will hate the person. We won't know how to separate the sin from the person. And so we have to understand that, you know, we have a role. We are not Yah. We absolutely are not Yah because our emotions will get in the way a lot of times. So we need to understand that when it comes to hatred, you know, we have to learn to hate the things that he hates. You know, he hates sin. He hates the iniquity. He hates transgression. He hates anything that would separate us from him. And that is what we have to learn. We have to learn the balance of what hatred really is and what the object, you know, who we should or what we should actually be hating, not who.
It's true. And as Pastor says, people take us on the chin. Right, it's a fighting word for giving us a lick for how we believe. But if David says, I hate those that hate my Yah, let's start there. They take us on the chin for standing for his truth, for separating from those that are truly our enemies, truly his enemies, separating from our families who give us the most hell, give us the most trouble when we want to serve Yeshua. How about starting there? If you want to understand how to separate sin or separate sin and separate hatred from an emotion, hatred from a person. If you want to know what it's like to hate someone that Yah hates, but hate with a perfect hatred, with no feeling of driven passion or aggression towards them at all. Just a passionate zeal for your father. How about making some separations? Hallelujah. Let's go over to a quote. I'm going to play a YouTube video. It's probably like 15 seconds long. You got any thoughts before I go there, Jennifer?
No, ma'am. I think it's very well put. You can go ahead.
Hallelujah. We are, let me pull this speaker up so y'all can hear it. We're just going, we have no notes, no paper, no, I got a pen. That's about it. I got nothing for y'all tonight. So we'll probably open up the phone calls here in a little bit, honestly, or call it a night. I'm going to a quote from a Satanist, an extreme Satanist, okay, who conjures spirits, conjures demons, prays to Satan, utters the Lord's Prayer backwards, prays against the people who serve Yeshua. I want y'all to hear what he says about Satanism, all right? Let's see.
In America, Satanism is sensationalized and kind of misunderstood, and people associate it with worshiping the devil and things like that. But it's really a philosophy about individuality and self-preservation. It's about being your own God. Being your own God.
Did you hear that, Jennifer? Did everyone hear it? It's very low, but it's low on my end too. Did you hear?
Oh yes, I heard. I heard it's about individuality and self-preservation, being your own God. And that is the epitome of selfishness. And I remember Mother Carol was on a broadcast, and she has said this several times, that the Daughters of Zion, she sees a lot of selfishness in the Daughters of Zion. And so that is what he just described, is the epitome of selfishness. And, when we're serving self, and we're not serving him, and self-preservation, being your own God. So you have placed yourself in the seat where Yahweh belongs. You have placed yourself where your husband belongs. So you are in the wrong place. You know, that is Satanism. Did you know that? I mean, it really is. It's mind-boggling when you really think about it. That, wow, if I'm selfish, I'm serving Satan. You know, I think if we really discern and think about that every single time and really discern our actions and really discern our thoughts, things would really be different. But I believe a lot of times we just go through the motions and we just go through our day as if the Father is not in the midst of us, and he is, as if he doesn't hear our thoughts, as if he doesn't hear the complaints and the murmuring. You know, when there's murmuring in your heart, that's selfishness, because you're saying it doesn't matter what Yahweh thinks. I'm gonna voice what I think. It doesn't matter what he says. I'm gonna voice what I think, and that's what murmuring is, and complaining is, and the negativity, and you're placing yourself above him. And, you know, that puts you in a whole nother position, and you have made yourself an idol.
Very good. Let's go to a email. This email is a correspondence between myself, Sister Jennifer, and another sister. And we have read her email probably 2 weeks ago for the show, and it greatly benefited a lot of you. It was based on respect. Especially respect for her husband. She greatly appreciated it, has grown and applied, and here's some further questions, okay, based off of our show. She asks, and I'm going to you, Jennifer, with the questions, how do you escape negative? Let me stop for a second. Jennifer, I'm going to read it all, and then I'm going to ask you each question one at a time, okay? So here I go again. How do you escape negativity, murmuring, and complaining that you say leads to disrespect? I have cut off almost everyone that is not a part of Straightway and have very limited conversation with a few. And my husband says I'm still pretty negative. How does idolatry lead to disrespect? Can you give me some other examples of putting myself on a throne? You mentioned this topic could be a whole other show. And I would love to hear more, please. All right, let's stop there. Let me go back to question, I'll call it number one. How, Jennifer, do you escape negativity, murmuring, and complaining that you say leads to disrespect?
You first have to realize that it is within you. It's not enough for someone to tell you, you're pretty negative. You have to actually see it, because if they're saying you're negative but you're not in agreement with it, there's nothing that you're going to do about it. So you have to agree, okay, yeah, this is in me. And then once you get the agreement that, it is in you, it will actually grieve you. In your private time with the Father, the more time you spend with him, the more time you spend in your word, you start reading about murmuring and complaining, and how the Father's anger is kindled because of murmuring and complaining, what he did about the people who murmured and complained. we are like our ancestors, and we can't really think that we are above them. If they murmured and complained, then we will have the same thing that we have to fight as well. We can't think that we're any better at all, but you have to look at what the judgment was because of that. And then you have to look at, okay, Father, this is in my heart, so I am worthy of the same punishment. I'm worthy of literally being destroyed. I'm worthy of being of having you open up the earth and swallowing me up because I've murmured against one who is in authority over me. You know, you start there and you realize what his word says, and then you realize what is in your heart, and you realize what you are worthy of. Those three things will really lead you to truly seeing what he thinks about it. And, you know, his word, when you're in that position, his word literally rebukes you. And when you hear his rebuke, it breaks you down. It really does. And if it doesn't break you down, you ask him, Father, I need godly sorrow. You know, not that worldly sorrow, not that, you know, well, honey, I'm sorry. You know, yeah, I am negative. You're right. I'm sorry. Nope, that's not enough. You have to be broken all the way down, and you have to be humbled to a point where you can really repent and never, ever, never, ever go back there again, where you really start to listen to your thoughts and you start to discern the things that are really in your mind, because it's easy to ignore murmuring. You know, if you've grown up in a family where all you've heard was murmuring and complaining, chances are you're not even going to know that it's wrong. You're going to think that it's just normal. You're going to think that it's just part of life. You know, this is just what people do. But when you come to Yah and you realize that this is not, you know, the meditations of our heart are not acceptable when we're murmuring and complaining. They're not pleasing in his sight. When you come into the truth and you learn that, that's when you start to discern your thoughts. And you literally have to just kind of, you know, just stop and be like, okay, wait, where'd that thought come from? You know, that was not of Yah. And you have to say in your mind, you know what, Father, forgive me for that. And then you're more sober with your thoughts going forward. So it really boils down to your own personal relationship with the Father, because when you have that personal relationship with him, he is able to speak to you through his word, and you're able to really cry out to him to get your heart right, and he will give you the godly sorrow that you need so that you never revisit that place again at all. And sometimes, you know, it'll it may grieve if you're around other saints. Your murmuring and complaining will grieve somebody else. It'll be like a you know, kind of like a cancer. You'll come into a room and you'll start noticing that the atmosphere will change, you know, whereas when you first got to wherever you were, say it's a room full of sisters, and you come in and the atmosphere completely changes, and then there's a bunch of negativity in the room, and the only thing that changed was you entered in, you know, that's a sure sign. So you really have to be discerning, and you have to want to really know the truth. The truth about yourself is painful, but once you acknowledge it, it will lead you to pure and true deliverance so that you never repeat those things again. I hope I answered that question.
You did. I had a lot of thoughts come to my mind. I want to take it slow, but it's like, what else can be said that has not already been said, especially from our teachers and pastor here at this ministry? What is this deception, and what are these blinders that are on the eyes of the women of this ministry? What is this deception that has allowed us to think that we have done no wrong to anyone? The audacity that we have is such a stench. The mere fact that you have functioned without a Godhead for so long, without his order, and without submission, is what has placed you on the throne that you sit on. With that throne comes so much haughty behavior, so much finger pointing, so much negativity. You cannot see yourself clearly. You believe you have done nothing that is any greater than what he has done. He's done so much. I'm specifically not speaking to this sister situation, but I'm speaking to those that are listening. We even have the mind, Jennifer, of more than one, but a recent one, that, you know what, my situation's so different, Jennifer. My situation is so different. My marriage is so different that I need to speak to Elder Becker himself. I need to speak to Pastor Dow himself, or Deacon Bell, or Elder Rufus. This is coming from who? Who is this? A woman. A woman. You will not speak to any man in this ministry with that kind of audacity and haughtiness. And because some of y'all don't know what goes on behind the scenes, or what type of attitudes we have to deal with, it may come across very harsh the way that we speak. But I'm telling you what, we are dealing with some kind of arrogance that you can't even understand how your speech, and the word says that your tongue is a world of iniquity. And you have accused for so long and finger-pointed for so long and been negative for so long that you cannot see. You can't see your health fail, your weight gain, your hair fall out, your eyes dim. All the symptoms in your body. And it still doesn't tell you that you are the problem. He's still the weak one. He's not really serving God like he says he is. He's not reading the Torah like he says he is. He's not praying like he should. He's not being the father to my children like he should. He's not paying for this. I got to do that. I get it. It's a lot of disorder. We get it. There's no scenario that has not come through this ministry. But you're always going to get consistency. See, what we do, Jennifer, is I live in a world, I guess it's just like Sister Tawana had said when she came here. This is literally like visiting another country. Straightway is like visiting another country. And that is the truth straightway right there. Because I don't know what it's like to have a dysfunctional home. I don't know what it's like to lift my finger up to my husband and raise my voice at him. I don't know what it's like to have Yah's hand even removed from us. I don't know what it's like not to get our prayers answered. I don't know what it's like not to be blessed. And we get the finger pointed at us, Sister Jennifer. What say you?
Sister says, when people come to this ministry, he says, we have seen you before. We have met you before. You know, like you said, everybody thinks that their situation is different. But, you know, like he said, we have visited your situation before. It's no different at all. And, you know, to really get to the point of saying that, you know, I need to speak to Pastor Dow personally, you know, because you're not content, you're not happy with the answer that you were given. And so you want to ask somebody else the exact same question, but you want to word it in a different way. And then you want to ask Pastor that same thing. I mean, it really is very arrogant. And we are taught by Pastor and the elders and our husbands. So the answer that we give the sisters are, you know, they're shaped on what we are taught from them. So like you said, it is a high level of arrogance that exists, and you will not see yourself if you're always wanting to ask somebody else. I need to ask, well, I need to see what Elder Rufus says. I need to see what Pastor says. I need to see, you know, always wanting to go to somebody else. You'll never, ever see yourself doing that. If I go to Sister Ashley and she gives me an answer, then I'm gonna go to the Father, and I'm gonna be like, you know what? If Sister Ashley says that, you know, you need to examine this. You're struggling with, you know, inconsistency in your marriage because you're out of order. You know, I'm gonna go to the Father. You know, if I go to her and I ask her and she tells me, I'm gonna really go to the Father and seek Him. I'm not gonna say, well, you know what? Sister Ashley, I know I came to you and I asked you this question and you gave me your answer, but I need to talk to Pastor Dow. You know, that's not how it works. At least seek the Father. Go to the Father first and really go to him with a pure heart. Don't go to him thinking that you already know the answer. Father Ashley said my heart is wicked, but I know that's not true. So I need you to send a confirmation to her showing her that I'm not wicked. I mean, you're just sending up witchcraft prayers. That's all that is. So we really have to be sober when we're approaching him. And even when we're approaching, you know, his people, if I'm going to anyone in leadership, I'm going to Mother Carol, whomever it may be, for advice, then I'm trusting that the Father is literally giving the advice through her. And so if I'm despising her instruction, and I'm despising Yah himself. And I think we miss that a lot of times. We truly do. We just have to wise up, and we have to be sober.
Yes, ma'am. And there are more tools in the Father's chastisement than just his truth or the application of the word coming from the pulpit for some of you who, you know, receive that chastisement and really get hit and get pricked and change, et cetera. There's so much more to chastise his people. So stiff-necked and rebellious as we are, you know, I got so many things in my mind. Help me, Father. You know, Job had a scenario that Pastor covered recently, where the Hasatan was having a conversation with the Most High, okay? And he's let's bring another one. Basically, he's saying this. You know how that woman is, okay? We're going hypothetical here. You know how she is, Sister So and So. Let me go down and piss her off, right? Let me go down and cause some division in her home. Let me go down and let her husband forget a few things. You know, maybe lose his job. Let me take his job from him. Let me you know, give him a little bit of what appears to be an out of control situation. Take his strength away, and you'll see her rise up. Yeah, you will. All right. So the Father says, go ahead, go on down to Sister So and So. So here comes what? Spirits, yes, but chastisement. Remember, even in the Hordes of Hell I read earlier, it says that the weapons, okay, that came down were gossip and slander and fault fighting and rejection and bitterness and patience. So all that's going to come to you. It's going to chastise you. It's going to make you or break you. And the main assignment in that army was what? To cause division on every level, focusing here on husband and wife. So if you could look around in your living room or in your home and shake hands with some spirits and some demons and work and high-five each other. They love that stuff. They love that stuff. But if you can be a praying woman and be a wise woman and build your house and support and fall in order and get those demons out of your home and get them off of your couch, that's not what they want. So if you begin to see things in the spirit realm and wake up to it, you will understand so much more. You have so much more peace. Remember Joseph. I love how Pastor brought out Joseph. This man has such a righteous character in captivity that Yah intervened on his behalf. That's the kind of stuff that we have to keep in our minds. I'm going to tell you right now, Jennifer, I got some areas of immaturity and the list goes on. Whatever these adjectives are for me, that Yah is not going to intervene for me. He's just not. I will be chastised in other ways until I get to where he wants me to be. You understand chastisement, Jennifer?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I understand it very well. And, you know, it's just like we give our children the rod of correction, and we receive the rod of correction from the Father, but it truly is out of love. Does it feel good? No, it does not feel good at all. But once you you start to actually receive chastisement and you actually desire it, you realize how it changes you. When you allow chastisement to actually change you, then you really do desire it. You truly do. And, you know, this is why we talked about discretion before. We really, truly, as women, need to have discretion. You know, discretion is what will preserve us. Proverbs says that discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. So we need to be able to judge what is holy and what is profane within ourselves first before, you know, we can go speaking over somebody else or discerning something else. And, you know, we always want to discern the evil. Why don't we ever want to discern the good? Why is it so easy to discern the evil? Proverbs also says, you know, as a jewel of gold and a swine's snout is a fair woman, which is without discretion. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. Anything in a swine's snout is useless. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how beautiful it is. If it's in a swine's snout, nobody's going to touch it. It's not useful for anything at all. It's unclean. So if you're a woman without discretion, you don't know how to judge what's holy and what's profane, then the Father compares you to a jewel of gold and a swine's snout. So this is why it's so important to really walk in discretion. I'm going to read, I'll read two more. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So when we're faced with a situation, you really have to use discretion because, you know, if you're just ready to go off your emotions and blow up based on what you think you perceive, what you think you see, and you don't defer your anger, you really have to seek the Father and defer your anger, and that is what discretion will do. One more. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. So Yahweh operates in discretion. The Father operates in discretion. And so if we are to be modeling his character, we should have discretion as well. And that's all I wanted to share.
Very good. That's a tool that we would fight the negativity with. That's a tool that we would fight murmuring and complaining with. You have to resist the devil so that he will flee from you. If these are your temptations, it's only by your resistance that the temptation would be removed so that you would be strengthened and it would no longer be your temptation. So to sit on a throne, sister or woman, sitting on a throne, see, what that does is you get so puffed up and high and lofty in your mind, you get very intimidated by anyone else sitting on a throne. So you would become very proud and contentious. You would have orders in your heart, directions for everyone else. You would have ideas of what everything else should be, how it should be going, how it should be ran. You would be very pissed off when it doesn't go your way. You'd be very controlling. And anyone else that appeared to you to be sitting on a throne, you wouldn't like that at all. Your judgment is impaired. Your perception is way off. And when you sit on a throne, you truly accuse everyone else of doing what you're doing. You accuse everyone else of the fault-finding and the backbiting and the negativity that you're doing. Blinded when you sit on a throne. Blinded. Just as a queen would treat her peasants. That's the type of spirit of arrogance that comes with women. And so no one but the Father and his Spirit is going to make you and break you and make you come down off of that. And it's not a making, it's a breaking, like as she said, when you accept it. So you want to murmur, it's easy, it's always going to be there. You want to complain, it's easy too. I mean, the Father, he could send so many things to challenge you because he knows your weakness, or just because he allows the Hasatan to chasten you, chastise you. So we have to consider these demonic spirits and the things that we struggle with some are like, well, how do I know? How do I know if it's a spirit that's sent to me because I've done something wrong, or if it's sent to me because the Father's trying to chasten me? Does it really matter? so that you may be perfected. Don't spend so much time trying to meditate. The enemy would love to take your mind and have you meditating on why you're going through what you're going through, or who sent it, or what does the Father think about me. Don't get sidetracked to all that. If you're walking upright and you're fighting the enemy and you're praying and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you don't worry about all that stuff. You're not even challenged by it. You think a meek and quiet woman is challenged by anyone sitting on a throne? It doesn't even faze her. I've seen it too many times. I've seen few meek and quiet women that take a seat down on the ground in the dust, that are truly unfazed by other women sitting on a throne. And you got to take that position of sitting down on the dust in every aspect, sisters. You got to take it in your home. And I understand how impossible it seems to the high and lofty mind. I understand if you're not converted, you don't got his spirit, you don't speak in tongues, you've never heard the truth, you're not running for him and you're running away from him and you don't want his order. You're not going to understand our show. You're not going to understand this ministry as we go forward. We're a far cry in the wilderness from anything you've ever heard. You'll never hear it anywhere else. But we're going higher. My mom used to say, the train's leaving. She really meant we're going to the store, going to the grocery store, et cetera, et cetera. But the train is leaving, damn it. And she meant it, too. You don't get in the car, you can sit right here. Jennifer?
You know, I wanted to bring up, you talked a little bit about our focus. And I believe that it's so easy to focus on the war, you know, the warfare. It's so easy to focus on demons, you know, witchcraft, whatever. It's so easy to focus on evil that we forget that our focus and our affection should be on the Most High Yah. And when our affection and our focus is properly set on him, from there, that is where the battle is fought. And we get so wrapped up in, you know, I'm not saying that deliverance is bad. It's not at all. But when your focus is only on deliverance, when your focus is only on fighting the devil, then you're taking away the attention from the Most High Yah. And that is when, you know, you get out of order. And that is when things start to go awry. It really does, because your focus is not on him first. We're told to seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness, you know, and everything else will be added to us. I remember a point in time when there was a woman who, she's no longer in this ministry, but there was a woman that I was, she hated me. She literally hated me. I had no idea that this woman hated me. And so it came out after she left the ministry, but the Father kept me completely ignorant to her hatred towards me. And I was able to, you know, to just continue to walk in love with this woman. I never knew that I was hated, because I was so focused on the Father during that time, and he protected me and he kept me, and he was the one that fought the battle. You know, I didn't have to go pray against this woman every single day. No, my affection and my love was on the Father, and because of that, the battle was fought. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you don't need to seek deliverance. You don't need to do spiritual warfare, but it's about the focus when you're doing that. So I just wanted to be clear on that.
Very good. And you know, until I got this show, I wasn't really aware of what it would be like, what it would entail, how much, you know, hatred may come, how much accusation may come, how much it might affect my life or my children or, you know, who hated or what. And it's true. So much can go on around you that you may be even aware of, but you're in a safe place. And that safe place is that place that's in the spirit with the Father. Because in your home, no matter what's going on, there's a place you can get to if only you would trust. If only you would trust. Sometimes we lean so much on the arm of flesh and the arm of man, not just for a physician or a doctor or someone to tell me what's wrong with me, but even for answers. And you mentioned, you know, putting Yah first. It's important that even as we represent our husbands on this show and represent Christ and His order, don't think for one moment that we serve anyone but Him. I serve Deacon Bell and follow him as he follows Yeshua, as he follows Pastor, the Straightway Ministry, etc. But Almighty Yahweh is my creator. He's my God. He's my all in all. So you got to get to that place where you're not even afraid of messing up. Because when you mess up, you'll know that your intention was right and you pick yourself up. You fall, you get up. And sometimes coming into this and not really having a strong or mature relationship with the Father yet, you can err or make a mistake in believing that your husband is your God, that you mess up or you're so afraid of messing up and pissing him off that Almighty Yahweh handles things the same way or however your husband feels that day is how Yahweh feels that day. And that's just not the case. So we are encouraging you to build a strength with him, that you have this atmosphere around you. If you're sitting down right now, you have an atmosphere around you, an environment that you are in control of. And the way that you can, edify others, and the way that you can prosper and be in health is to be prayed up and to seek his face. Just as Pastor was just recently saying, so many want the anointing. So many want the Father. So many want to please Him and want to serve Him, but you don't pay the price. And you're not willing to give up the mere thing that's right in front of you that you know you have to give up. You won't make the changes that's required of you. You're rebellious. And that's just the truth. You want everything easy on a handout? You want Almighty Yahweh? You want to please Him? Well, do this. Submit yourself and shut your mouth. Well, that's too hard. That's too hard. I can't do that. Because He's doing this. And somebody, who can I call? Can I just talk to Pastor? Can I talk to Elder Becker? Is there somebody else? No, you're going to get the same answer across the board. Just do this. Give up whatever He's asking you to give up. He's worthy of it. If the righteous, Sister Jennifer, if the righteous shall scarcely see Yah, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear?
You know, the thing that we truly need and the thing that we lack is the fear of Yah. The fear of Yah is what keeps you from sin. You know, when His fear is before your face every single day, when you have in your heart and you have in your mind, okay, His eyes are on me. His eyes see me. They see everything I do. They see everything that's in my heart. And when you have His fear, that's when you don't desire to sin. Because you know that everything you do is before Him. And that's what we truly lack, is His fear. Because if we had His fear within us, a lot of these issues wouldn't even be an issue. They would just go away. But the fear is established by a true relationship with Him. You know, when you read His word, you're not just reading it as a novel, or you're not just reading it as some book. You're reading it as life. You know, this truly is life here that I'm reading. And so I don't know, did we answer the question about how idolatry leads to disrespect? I know we talked about it a little bit, but I don't know if we covered that fully.
No, ma'am, we didn't. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to say that, you know, when you're dealing with idolatry in marriage and you're asking how does idolatry lead to disrespect? If you have a marriage where in the past the roles have been reversed, you know, you have taken you had taken the role of the man, you know, and you had given yourself power and authority, and you operated in that, and you treated your husband like the woman. When the roles are reversed, you have placed yourself in a seat, in a place where you don't belong. And so that is, you have made yourself an idol, you know, because you have put yourself in a position where you don't belong. And so that disrespect can come in because, you know, when you're trying to, you're actually trying to get it right. And then the roles are, you know, you're submitting yourself and you're humbling yourself and you're putting yourself in a proper role. Then what could potentially minister to you is, well, he's not making the right decision. I wouldn't have made that decision. You know, if I was still paying the bills, if I was still doing this, if I was still taking care of this, I wouldn't have made that decision. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter at all. That could lead to disrespect because you're hearing accusations against your husband and the decisions that he's making instead of coming alongside him and being his helpmeet. And, you know, I believe a lot of times as wives, we focus on what we see as the inadequacies within our husbands instead of seeing the shortcomings of ourselves as wives. You know, even the word tells us that the conversation, the lifestyle of a wife is what will win the husband. It's not your negative thoughts toward him. It's not your nagging him. That's not what wins him. It's your conversation, not the words you speak. It's your lifestyle. And so, you know, the idolatry can lead to disrespect because you're in a position where you don't need to be at all. And then you start to hear these accusations, these murmurs against him instead of supporting him. You know, that's what you're not there to actually teach him how you used to do it. You know, this is what I used to do. You're not there to do that. We have brothers that are in the ministry that can help. Your husband, you know, strong brothers that can help your husband. But as a wife, you just need to support him. You need to support him and you need to seek the Father and live for the Father, and everything else will come along after that.
Role reversal is a very good word, actually, because that's something that we should, any of you who have fallen prey to that, take that to the Father. I would hope that we are humble enough in heart and that we have come under the blood of Yeshua in our covenant with Yahweh, because that's come in the proper way. I hope with that covenant that we're very open. You know how you can form relationships with a man or a boyfriend on the side back in the day, or your husband that you got even now, and you form this relationship off of half-truth or not wanting him to know who you really were, etc. That's not the type of God we serve. So when you're coming to the Father and you're making a covenant relationship with him, you're laying everything out. And so, hey, role reversal, Father, that I have been the man and the head of this house. And I've expected more out of him than I've been able to produce. He's been the mama and the daddy to my children because he could do no right in my eyes, etc. Whatever it is, I hope we have the humility to say those type of things, to really come clean with Yah. Comparing your husband to other men is another huge mistake, and I'm telling you, it's a mistake that we've been taught so graciously by Pastor, that when a man inserts his DNA into you, or many men insert their DNA into you, it really scatters you, and it fragments your soul and your mind, your nefesh, everything about you. It's true, because comparing your husband to another man is one of the problems that women have when they've lain with too many or had too many relationships. And you gotta go deep into sexual sins and perversity and confession with the Father to try to get your mind clean, because virgins don't deal with that. Women who are single eyes and single affection towards one man, they can't even relate. So comparing your husband to another man, or comparing his faults or exalting his faults and comparing another man, or wishing that he was or responded as someone else, that's an issue. You don't need to take your finger off that issue until it's completely blotted out by the blood of Yeshua.
if your heart lusts to envy another relationship, another man, you need to take care of that. That comparison that you have and wanting him to be something else is because you have decided to function for him or instead of him and not allow him to do or to make mistakes. You know, we have women that support their husbands so much, even right here on this land, that if he were to fall on his face and make a huge mistake, they would support him and you would never know that there was any contention, that he would be able to stand back up and get up again and go on with a house in order. We don't have all this drama. We don't have all this contention. We just don't. We have too much fear. And I urge you to walk in that fear as well. In times past, a long time ago, this comes to my mind. I had shared it even on a show, and it sounds disgusting. It is disgusting. When a woman is on her cycle, and she is unclean and she is nasty, she is forbidden to lay with her husband. For that is great abomination. Right? That's a nasty, vile act. You need to see your sin and your lust for another man, and you're comparing your husband to another man and wishing and wanting him to be someone else. You need to see it as vile as you see those flowers, that blood, that menses, your menstruation. You need to see it that vile. That's disgusting. You need to think in your mind like the Father. And stop giving yourself a pass and letting these nasty, vile thoughts subside. And how do you do that, Sister Ashley? How do you do that? You take that thing to the Father until it's gone. And when you get back up from prayer, even when it's not gone yet, even if you're still bound or burdened by it, you still be grateful, be joyful, praise Yah, go about your day as you are clean because you know he's cleaning you, and you bless his holy name. You wash your face and your hands like David, and you wash that sin off and go on. But you continue in your prayer life. Your prayer life is different from walking about the saints. You don't know, half the saints here might be getting up from, getting chastised by the Father, getting the rod from him, having the stresses of the ministry on their minds, et cetera. Burdens galore. We take that to Yah, and you won't see it on our face. You won't see it. Or if you do, it won't be because of heaviness. It'll merely be because so much is going on. So I'm still urging you to really come clean in that private time, to really confess. Right, Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. I'm thinking about, you know, the children and the effect that we have on the children when we are not clean. And we put that uncleanness on the children. And you talked about the soul ties between a woman and men who she has joined herself with in an ungodly way, an unrighteous way, fornication, adultery, you know, men who she's been with who's not her husband, the past sexual sins and how her soul is fragmented. And there's a piece of her that leaves, and there's a piece of that man. Every single man that lives within that woman, every single time she defiles herself with another. Well, what do you think happens when you come into the truth and say you have not dealt with those sins? You've never dealt with the sexual sins. You've never dealt with the soul ties. You know, what happens when you actually are trying to raise righteous seed? You know, what are you putting into the righteous seed? Are you putting in parts of you know, this man or that man, and instead of putting in what, you know, the character of your husband, what the seed should have, the character of your husband? And so that's why it's really important for us to be clean, because we should not be passing these things on. We are taught so very well in this ministry. Our children should not have to struggle with the same struggles that we have had. I mean, I'm telling you, to have a pastor labor so much that he shows us how to approach Yah, how to seek Yah, how to speak to him, the words that we should use, and then to even write out the prayers to pray. I mean, it doesn't get any easier than that. All you have to do is say it. All you have to do is say it and really get it in your heart. And we won't be bound. But what binds us is passivity. You know, passivity binds us. Oh, I'll look them over and I'll say it tomorrow. And you can even look, you can read these prayers every day and have passivity in your heart. You know, just read it as if it's nothing, as if it's just a bunch of words, and, you know, that you can just say it as if it's nothing to you and you will change. Well, no, that's not true. It really has to be in your heart. So we have no excuse at all.
No excuse at all. I'm going to a ministry break. Been a long time since we heard Sister Wenda. Bless you again and again and again, Canada. If you're hearing it live or on a repeat, thank you so much for taking care of the man of Yah and his family, our precious family up there with you. I'm going to beloved Wenda's voice. We'll be right back with, hopefully, guest call-ins. 310-982-4226. You don't have to call about tonight's topics. We talked about a lot of things. If you just want to share something with us, please press 1. We'll be right back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Please tell others, hallelujah, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the Most High Yah as we are. Very good words. Let's go to California. All right, California, here we go. Area code 619. You're live on Sister
yes, Sister. Yeah, shalom. This is Sister Candace. I'm calling from my house phone. I just wanted to say shalom to you, sisters, Sister Jennifer and Sister Ashley. I want to tell you thank you again for another really blessed broadcast. These last ones have been really dealing, you know, with my heart and my mind, and I appreciate everything that you all do. I wanted to ask, how can I email you? Because I do have some questions. I wanted to sit down and send an email, but I don't know your email address.
Yes, ma'am, it's Straightway Help Meets. That's how you would reach Jennifer or myself or any sister in the ministry. Straightway Help
okay.
Meets. Yes, ma'am, it's plural.
StraightwayHelpMeets.com.
I'm sorry, at gmail.com. And it's all lowercase.
All lowercase.
Yep, so
Yes. Thank you. Good question on air, because I don't know if there's any sisters that didn't know that, but you can always use straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com, sisters, for any of your questions or your testimonies. So we check them daily and weekly.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Bless you all, sisters. And I just thank and praise y'all for your ministry, for this ministry, because, like I said, every time I listen, it's always dealing with something in my heart and to help me get myself together and get right with the Most High. I appreciate you all, and I appreciate the humility and all that you share to help me, help people like myself, sisters like myself. So I appreciate you all. Thank you again. Bless you all, and I look forward to seeing you soon again.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Candace.
You.
Spirits like you make it all worth it. I'm telling you. Thank you for your humble heart.
Love you all. I can't wait to see you again and all the sisters.
Hallelujah.
I just miss y'all. I miss y'all. Thank you. I won't continue on. I know there's other sisters that's probably waiting too, and I just want you to know that you, what you give is truly, truly from the Most High, and I'm so grateful that all the things that you've gone through and the things that you've been taught by Pastor Dow, it is truly, truly reaching people like myself. And I'm sharing it with others as well, my cousin. So hopefully one day she'll get a chance to come to the feast and experience what I experienced when I came to. I'm still thinking about, I'm still rejoicing over the fact that you allowed our family, you know, Pastor Dow allowed our family to even come and be a part. I can't help but just be grateful, and I just thank you so much. Shalom, bless you. Love you.
Oh,
bye now.
Shalom. Yes, and we know you love us. We love you as well. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Ohio. Ohio, area code 937. You're live, 937. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, sister. This is Nicole.
Shalom,
I just wanted to call in and just tell you, sisters, both, just thank you so much for always holding us accountable. I mean, we need it. We need it because, you know, that we don't get a whole lot of that out in the rest of the world and even just in Israel in general. We don't have too many other sisters helping to keep us in check and keep us accountable because, I mean, I used to be one of the women that you speak of that really genuinely thought that, you know, it was perfectly in order to be, you know, always have something to say and to be a co-head and, really, it's that fear of Yahuwah and the fear of the Most High that humbles us immediately. You know, if we really have that fear of Him, that will humble us immediately to be obedient and realize we are not the head and work and function in order. And I just praise the Most High that I have that fear because, you know, nothing can function properly without that order. And I know there's so many women that think that, you know, there's weakness and being submissive. There's weakness to be led by a man. You know, the world has taught us how weak that is. But the reality is that that's very strong. That's very strong to put your faith in the Most High in that way and to put your faith in that husband and to rely on someone to make the right choices for you. That takes more strength than it does to follow your own heart and lead yourself. And I just thank you, sisters.
Sister Nicole, I am blowing the trumpet because of the truth you speak, and it is not a light thing that a woman with your experience and your knowledge would say what you just said. Hold tight. Here we go. Hallelujah. I love the word you used, co-head. I love that word. You're probably going to hear that on future shows. And I love that you would glorify the Father and get behind your husband and support him as he follows Christ. And I love that you are Israel and you have the fear of Yahweh. Bless you, Sister Nicole.
Hallelujah. Bless you, sisters.
Hallelujah. Thanks for your call.
Thanks. Shalom.
Shalom. And Jennifer, you interject anytime. You know, I get excited and you're not right beside of me. So here goes New York. Sister Yolanda from New York, Erico 631.
Shalom, Sister Ashley and Mama Jennifer.
Oh, shalom. Is this Gerlanda?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Gerlanda, bless you. What you got?
Oh, I just wanted to call and say thank you for this message. Everything you've said is true, and sisterhood is extremely important. My sisters has helped me and encouraged me so much through my walk in the faith. And every Thursday, you, Sister Ashley and Sister Jennifer, bring us a new message to rebuke us and strengthen us. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Hallelujah. Tell everybody listening how old you are.
I am 19 years old.
Hallelujah. I like to hear that on air because that's so priceless. It's so beautiful to have a 19-year-old give up the world, which is nothing, for a whole lot of something named Yahweh. What do you think, Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely beautiful. I'm telling you, 19, and to really be following the Father, but to have the older ones there to just help bring her along is just so beautiful.
Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
You're
so welcome. Bye-bye. Bless you. Bless you. Bye. Good job, Sister Esther, Sister Rachel, Sabrina, East Coast sisters, all of you who are bringing her up, bringing her faith up, and pushing that sisterhood and conquering sin, hell, and the devil. Good job. Hallelujah. May Yah bless your unity. Let's go to Michigan. Michigan, area code 616. Shalom, shalom, you're live.
Shalom. Am I on the air right now?
Yes, ma'am. Do you desire to be?
yes, I do.
Hallelujah.
Actually, I have been for a while, and this message has hit home for me. Really in my spirit, and it's just so eerie to me because I guess in a nutshell, from my background, I grew up with a single father who raised myself and my older brother. So I always grew up seeing how it was for a father to, you know, care for his kids, to provide. And my dad he always went above and beyond. And my husband was more of the opposite. And, you know, he had two stepfathers in his life. So he was with his mom, you know, all the time. And he barely just met his biological father 2 years ago. So when we got married, it was almost easy for us to be in reversed roles. And I've been watching the ministry probably for 9 months now. And my husband introduced me to the ministry. And it probably hasn't been until these past 2 months where I've really felt convicted. We have two daughters, and I want to be an example for them and not to have them struggle the way that we have struggled. And one thing that I've been dealing with is, as Sister Jennifer was saying about just, you know, being submissive and learning how to be. It's like my body is, but my mind isn't, if that makes sense. You know, sometimes in my mind I will say things like, oh, I wouldn't have spent money on that, or why is he doing this, why is he doing that? And I've struggled with that because I want to encourage my husband. I don't want to be like a chihuahua, you know, and just nag and nag. And that's one thing that I have been struggling with. And I just got in touch with Straightway to hopefully get fellowship here in Michigan and, you know, have my husband see and witness men of Yah and hopefully guide him to, well, both of us, you know, to better understanding of Yah. So I appreciate you, sisters. I've not met you, but you have both helped me out so much tremendously, I mean, spiritually and just on this search that I didn't know that I was searching for. So I appreciate it, and I love all of you.
Hallelujah. Sister, what's your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Marissa.
Marissa, welcome to the
Marissa,
fight.
Yeah.
Welcome to the faith. Sister Jennifer, encourage her heart. What a beautiful phone call.
Yes, ma'am. You know, you said, I think you put it really well. You said your body is submissive, but your mind isn't. And so you know where the battle is. So you understand and know and discern that you have to fight the thoughts that are in your mind. And that is a really big step. So you keep supporting your husband. And, you know, again, your lifestyle is what is going to lead him, or, you know, just to bring him to Yah. Your submission to him is where the impact is. And, you know, we have brothers in the ministry that, you know, when he gets ready, he will reach out to. But your job is to just stay in your role, because when you're out of order in any way, the Father can't come in and change anything, because, you know, you've already asserted in your heart that, oh, I've got this under control. So you continue to stay in submission, and, you know, don't let anybody tell you that, anybody in the world, don't let any Gentiles tell you that you're doing wrong. He doesn't help you. Just don't even listen to that. It's just a bunch of rubbish. That's all it is. So bless you, Sister Marissa. I'm happy you called in.
And Sister Marissa, I would like you to call me in the dining hall. That's the number behind Pastor's videos on YouTube. If you don't mind calling, I would like to pass your phone number to maybe another connection up there where you are. And then if your husband, of course, desires to fellowship or connect with the brothers, then I would, you know, take your number for Elder Becker. But typically the brothers would call, or your husband would call, Elder, if he desires fellowship. But if you want a righteous sister in your area, I can try to help you out. So I just wanted to say that before I let you go.
Okay. And is there any time that I can call that you would be there?
Any day but tomorrow. So if you leave a message for me, I'll always get back to you. If you just leave your phone number for me, I'll contact you at a good time for me. And it shouldn't be long. You shouldn't have to wait long. I try to call you before Sabbath if you call me tomorrow.
Okay, yep, I can do that. You know, thank you both so much. And right now I just really seek correction. I mean, I have quote-unquote friends, but not sisters. And I've seen a big difference. So I've learned so much in these past 9 months than I have, I guess, my whole 26 years being alive in Christianity. So praise Yah, and thank you,
Hallelujah.
Sisters.
Oh, you're very welcome. Last thing, Sister Marissa, 26 years old, you are going to be the very best example that your daughters will ever have or can have. And for that, that's worthy of all praise and glory to the Father. You are going to be a great mother, okay? Don't doubt it. Don't fear it. As long as you continually receive correction, never focus on your mistakes. You keep striving.
Thank you so much. I love you both. Shalom.
Oh, the same love to you. Shalom. All right. What a beautiful call. Beautiful calls. We went from California, Ohio, New York, Michigan. I think we had another one. But hallelujah. Thank you for your call. Sometimes that's my favorite part. We get to hear from you all. Jennifer, I'm out of words. You want to say something in the show?
Yes, ma'am, Daughters of Zion. Remember, discretion is key. You know, really seek the Father and ask him for discretion. Sister Shane said on Shabbat is, you know, discretion is understanding and knowing the difference between what is holy and what is profane. So knowing what is holy within you and what is profane within you. Once you start to understand that, then you'll be able to see what is holy in your sisters, what is holy in others, and what is profane. So bless you, Daughters of Zion, and thank you all for tuning in and listening, and just seek the Father with all your heart, and everything else will be added unto you.
I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.